Welcome back. I'm Marty Conacook from Sea Center, Texas, and I'm back here with Carlos from Moody High School. We're going to talk about the waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Now, most of the waters out there in the Gulf of Mexico, except for the jetties and the artificial reefs out there, is pretty much just a bare sand bottom. Though there is a lot of life out there, a lot of people in certain areas might think of it as a desert. It's just that the populations of the animals are not as dense over the open Gulf as they are you would find in around an artificial reef or a coral reef or around a jetty. But there is a lot of variety of animals, all the different fish out there, and a lot of fish that start their life in the salt marshes and the bays and estuaries eventually migrate out into the Gulf of Mexico for their adulthood. In the Gulf of Mexico, as everywhere else, you have a food chain with the little guys feeding the big guys. And the food chain progresses up the Gulf of Mexico to the sharks, which is pretty much the top predator found in the Gulf of Mexico. I got a couple examples here of sharks. These here are some bamboo sharks on loan from the Texas State Aquarium. Were kind enough to loan them to me for this class. These sharks are normally found in the South Pacific, but they're a very good shark to use for this here. They're a very gentle, docile shark. Now, Carlson, I ask you, you've seen the movie Jaws?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you pretty much know all you need to know about sharks, right?
Stay away from them.
Yeah, if they see you, they're going to eat you, right? That's most people's conception of sharks. Of course, you never want to join the space program because you've seen that movie Aliens.
Yeah.
So you know if you go in space, those critters are going to get you and eat you up there too, right? It's the same thing. Jaws was a science fiction movie, but unfortunately most people's concept of sharks is based on that movie Jaws. Now, sharks can be a very dangerous animal, but there's actually very few species of sharks that are actually considered dangerous to man. There's over 450 different species found throughout the world, of which only about 20 are considered dangerous to man, and luckily those are not not the most numerous sharks in the world. Now, these are bamboo sharks, which are normally found in the South Pacific. They're a very gentle, docile shark, but they make a good example here for me to talk about. Now, these sharks here are a bottom-dwelling shark. You see them laying on the bottom, and you also notice these sharks are just laying there. Another misconception of sharks is that a shark has to swim from the day it's born to the day it dies. Now, this is true for some sharks, but not for all sharks. There's a lot of sharks that do not have to do that. Out here in the Gulf of Mexico, a very common shark is a nurse shark. That there should be a picture of that you should be able to find on the webpage. Then they do not have to swim. Other sharks do have to swim. They have no ability to pump water over the gills. And as you can see the shark here, you see his gills fluctuating here. He's actually pumping water over his gills. And if you also look just behind the shark's eyes here, now the bamboo shark is considered a cat shark. If you can see the eye there, you see it has like a cat-like slit, which is how it gets named cat sharks. And then just behind the eye is the empiracle. Excuse me. This enables water to come into the gills and then it gets flushed over here. And the sharks that have the ability to flush water over the gills have a very large empiricle. The sharks that do not have a very small empiricle. Now sharks, I'm going to pull one out here for Josh to meet personally. Carlos to meet. He'll probably start flapping around here in a second. If you want, go ahead and pet this guy. See what he feels like. Tell me what he feels like. Rub your hand down and feel that, and run your hand the other way. What does it feel like?
It feels pretty good.
What does it feel like? Is it mighty sandpaper? Fine grade of sandpaper?
Pretty much.
Before sandpaper was invented, people would use that shark skin as sandpaper. This guy here probably is like a very fine grade of sandpaper. So in the old days, before sandpaper was invented, you would catch different sharks to use their skin for various grades of sandpaper. Other sharks, such as tiger sharks, bull sharks, have a very rough sandpaper, almost like a coarse grade of sandpaper. Now this guy here, I also like to point out, is a male.
How can you tell it's a male?
Okay, now the male on this guy here, turn him upside down, you see he has his two anal fins here, and you see these two finger-like appendages here. Mm-hmm. That is the male sex organ. Now the female here, see if I can get her up, it'd be nice and calm for me here. Well, female's not going to be calm. Now you notice there is no finger-like appendages. Now these finger-like appendages are known as claspers. Oh. Start a little problem. Here we go. All right. Okay. Now that is the male sex organ. These, they have sex like most animals do. Not all fish have that. And I'd also like to point out, before we got on, he asked about the wounds here on the shark. Yeah. That is from mating. Sharks are extremely aggressive when they mate, and they bite a lot during that time. And I'd also like to point out, if you can see here, the shark's mouth, which he's, I hear him biting there. This type of shark is a bottom feeder. He has a flat, crushing type of teeth. It's not very sharp, although they are a little bit jagged. They will, if they were to bite, if this was to bite me, as I speak from experience, it's like getting your finger in a vise. They pinch down real hard, but chances are they won't break the skin. Now, other sharks will have a jagged type of teeth, such as a sand tiger. And you see, there's a very common shark in aquariums. Unfortunately, they get a lot bigger than we can handle here. You see the teeth sticking out of their mouth, these big jagged teeth. Now, those type of teeth are mentioned for catching fish. So they will try and catch a fish that they can swallow whole. You know, other type of fish will have serrated teeth, such as the great white shark you see in Jaws. In most documentaries you see, they all like to go to the big sharks like Jaws, the tiger shark. They got the triangular serrated teeth. Now, those are meant for taking a bite out of something. Now, when they attack, they can attack an animal bigger than what they can eat, such as a whale or a bigger fish, and they can come up and just take a bite out of it as they want, swallow it, go back for another bite.
About how big do these get to grow? Here?
Now, these bamboo sharks here will only get to be about 2.5 to 3 feet when they're fully grown. These guys here still have a little ways to grow. Now, sharks will vary in size. The smallest shark is the pygmy shark, which gets to be about 10 inches long when it's fully grown, fits in the palm of your hand. The largest shark is the whale shark, which gets up to be about 45 feet in length. Mm-hmm. But luckily, the whale shark is a very gentle, docile shark, and it's a plankton eater. So other than its enormous size, he's not a dangerous animal. But then all the other species vary in size, you know, everywhere you go.
You said earlier that these were bottom dwelling?
These are bottom dwelling.
So is that why they have their skin the way it is?
Their skin is a coloration. Different sharks will have different colorations. Most sharks will be like a dark gray on the top and a light gray on the bottom, especially sharks that are in the water column. This is that camouflage to them. So that as the animal looks down at the dark bottom, you're not seeing them easy. On the other hand, when an animal is looking up, you're seeing a light underbody, and it makes it more difficult to see. These guys, bottom dwelling, you'll find these guys, like, they're again, as bamboo sharks to the bamboo trees in the bayous in the South Pacific, and it adds to the camouflage, making it much more difficult to see for other animals to get to eat, be able to eat them, and also for them to be able to sneak up on the other guys. The one other thing I'd like to bring up here real quick is on shark attacks, going back. Most shark attacks on people, which is exceptionally rare, is usually a case of mistaken identity. Sharks will see a person, and they don't know if it is edible or not, if it's a food. They'll come up and try it, and they'll take a bite. And normally they won't eat the whole person. They come up and they take a bite. Unfortunately, when a shark takes a bite out of you, see if he wants to eat you, he'll probably spit you back out, but then that's considered a shark attack, and you're still in a lot of trouble. But normally, people are not on the shark's menu and do not have to worry very much about sharks. That about wraps it up for us now. I'm going to pass it over to Carl Beaver, who now talked to us about coral reefs.